Hey, welcome to an all-new episode of the DeviantArt Podcast. I'm Matt Buchholz, your host, Gigi Matt B, and today we've got with us an amazing illustrator, Naimi Kanani. Welcome to the podcast, Naimi.
Hi.
Hi. It's been so great this week getting to know you, getting to dig through your work. We featured you on our social channels and just really getting to know who you are and what you do. So it's been so fun.
Thank you.
I would love to have you get to introduce yourself to everyone so they get to know a little bit about you before we really get into the questions in the podcast.
Yes, I'm from San Jose, California, and I recently graduated from art school this May, and I'm still new to being a freelance artist, but yeah, and a lot of people know my art for kind of dull aesthetics and a lot of pretty girls drawings and I try to make my art feel nostalgic and like in the dream like world. Yeah,
I think you do a really great job at it too. Like, I'm a big fan of Lewis Carroll's works and that kind of whimsical sense, almost that like through the looking glass feel that your works have is something really fun and provides almost an escape into this world that you've built, which is so cool to see across your entire gallery.
Yeah, I feel like Alice myself in my own like artist journey. So I wanted to apply that to my work.
That's super cool. I think it comes across really well. And I was even watching, you have a YouTube video where you flip through your art book that you did for your senior thesis. And it's so cool to get to see that.
Thank you.
So let's talk about from how you got started to where you are now. So when did you start drawing? What kicked off that journey for you?
So I started drawing when I was like 3, and that's because my mom really loves art and she wanted to share that art and craft with me. And she was also worried that because I have a slight learning disability, I had a harder time catching up with my peers. So my mom thought maybe if I let Naimi have fun with art, then she can become an art teacher. But she didn't expect me to love art this much. And so, yeah, I was also a weird kid at school. I was always alone. I didn't have friends. So I really had a lot of time alone, just drawing whatever I wanted. And there's a funny story she told me when I was in kindergarten. I normally would tell what happened at school, but she told me this one day. I told her, like, I went to this amusement park and like in really detail, like, oh, I went to this ride and it was like super fun. And my mom believed me and she went to the school and was like, did you guys go to a field trip? It's like, no, we didn't. So my mom believes that I went to like a Alice Wonderland world, like somewhere.
So you've always had this kind of like whimsical world that you've presented, which is really fun. Even from such a young age, that's crazy. To have such a good imagination and very great for your parents too, to latch onto like that's something that they can encourage. That's really cool.
Yeah, they were really supportive with my art. So I'm really happy with that.
That's great. So from that love of creating these worlds and imagination, how did you tailor that into then going into like studying art?
So first I kind of got into manga and started reading a bunch of like Japanese manga things. I actually brought some that I really was inspired by. So like I always look through like mangas and try to copy them at first like everyone else, but I discovered concept art and looked into more artists, mostly Tumblr, and I felt that my skills were lacking based on like people's like college applications. So I put myself to study more from real life. And that really helped me improve.
That's cool. So I saw a lot of people already commenting that they love manga as well. What were those mangas that you just held up? And people in the chat, what mangas do you like reading? Because this is kind of a fun thing where you get to be here live with us in the chat. So let's all share what we enjoyed from manga.
So mostly, like all of these are romance stories. And my favorite is this one called like No Longer Heroine, or Heroine Shikaku. It's about a girl who thinks she's like the main character, and she likes this guy, but she's like, oh, like I'm not worried about him because he breaks up with his girlfriend anyway, I have time. But then he goes out with this girl and they don't break up at all, and she starts being the main character, like not like the usual like, oh, the innocent like character. She's the really mean character. That's what's interesting about that story.
That's super fun. I think that there's such great stories to be told within manga, and it really pairs art and literature in a way that no other art form does as well.
Yeah, I always liked seeing the expressions too, and I feel like that kind of applies to the expressions I make on my characters.
Yeah, so how did you take the manga that you're reading then and kind of learn from that or take inspiration from that to what you do now?
Yeah, they have a lot of details on every movement, because even though they have dialogue, they're kind of still telling a story. And I feel that the details is what I like to apply to my work.
Yeah, you do a really amazing job with the details. I don't want to hop ahead too far, but like, mm-hmm. I love and we talked about this in the feature that we did, the mood boards that you do. You provide such amazing character development through those details of what these people have almost as like their inventory.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't expect people to like it that much. I started it because I wanted to make sticker sheets to sell. And because I saw some artists do something similar, but they don't have a character. It's more like just the items around it. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I wanted to add like the character because I enjoy drawing characters more.
What do you think pulls you towards enjoying drawing characters?
Well, I love looking through concept art, and I was really inspired by Glenn Keane's character design. Yeah, and just being able to draw a character that has a story behind it, it's really unique. And I always try to draw characters more pretty, and like that's how I wanted to improve. I think that's a good motivation, just like wanting to draw the character more the image you have in your head.
Yeah, there's always that challenge of what you can imagine and what you put on paper, right? Or on a tablet now. I'm very old. So for me, everything is paper, stone tablets, whatever.
I used to have like this huge sketchbook in my backpack. And then whenever I take it out of my backpack, everyone's like, oh, Naomi took out that sketchbook. She's going to start drawing now.
So you told me a story when we talked earlier this week about the expressions in manga, and that some of them would you didn't like them as a child, and I thought that was so amazing.
Yeah, like when I was really younger, like I didn't think about like art critique, but when I look at the work, I'm like, oh, the mouth, it looks really small, man. I want to make it a little bit bigger or something like that. And then like I look back at it, and it's like there's like a lipstick mark over the girl's lips or something. It's really funny.
It's got to be fun looking back at any of those old pieces that you've modified in your own way to kind of see how a young you perceived art at the time.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So one other thing before we get too into the details, I would love for you just to talk about some of the hobbies that you might have. So that everyone gets to know you before we delve into the really deep details.
Yeah, I really love watching movies. And sometimes I go to YouTube and look into theories about it. And I also watch YouTubers play games, mostly story-based games. And my favorite was Frambo and Little Nightmares.
Mm, Little Nightmares' art direction was so beautiful.
Yeah, I'm so excited for the second one. I don't play games, but I like watching people play games.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, because I like to draw while watching, and I only look when there's something important, or like the character design is really cool. I kind of like the Tim Burton style characters. They're a little creepy, but it's not too creepy. It's creepy for children.
Yeah, that balance of creepy and cute is a really tough one to walk. But I think that you carry it off really well in your work as well. Like, your art is so cute, but then there's like a little haunting edge to it where you're like, oh, something's off here, but I like it.
I feel like, because I get scared easily since when I was little, like my dad would be playing Mario. And whenever Mario falls, I'm like, no, it's so scary. And my dad's like, why is this so scary? And I couldn't watch Harry Potter because of the blood or something. Even smallest blood, I get scared. So I feel like the illustration, it portrays my childhood fears. It's when I started college is when I got into a little bit scarier genres. Like I still avoid horror movies. It still scares me, but the little children scariness is what I love.
Yeah, I can relate. I didn't get into horror until I was married to my wife, who is she actually works in horror. So at that point, I had to really get used to it. It took me a lot because I had that overactive imagination that was like, any monster I saw in film was then going to be in my bedroom at night, every night. So now I get to kind of, now that I've seen the inside from my wife working in horror, I get to know a little bit more about it and feel a lot safer watching it.
Yeah. Once you get kind of the pattern, I feel like you can enjoy it more.
Definitely. So let's talk about your art and the style that you draw in, because I think that you've created this incredible world which everything lives in. And you said that you love Tim Burton, and you can definitely see some influence there. But like, I think that you've created something very unique in how you do your specific world. So let's talk about that a little bit.
I could also say I was inspired by Melanie Martinez, if you know her.
Mm-hmm.
She also has like the little bit creepiness. And I realized once I gathered everything that I love, it's all based on Alice in Wonderland. And Alice in Wonderland is also surrealistic and dreaming. You don't understand what's happening. I like that feeling of like all over the place. It's just like you're just dreaming. You don't know where you're going. But it kind of still tells a story. Like an artistic journey as well.
So when you are building that sort of world, how do you find that balance of what is surreal and whimsical and then kind of anchoring it in something that people can relate to?
I feel like everyone still has that childhood feeling in them. And it's funny because people look at my art and say, it's creepy. But for me, I get creeped out easily. But whenever I draw my work, I don't feel that it's that creepy. It's the like the little nightmares kind of vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that there's something too, when you create it, or when you know the process that goes behind it, there's a sense of familiarity that goes along with it, right?
Yeah, I feel people can relate to it.
Definitely. So you also, we talked about this a smidge earlier, but you kind of pair this vintage lace and antique feel with something very ethereal and almost magical. So what pulled you to that? What when you were growing up was like, this is something that I really enjoy, or this is something that I want to create more of?
Yeah, I always was the girl who wears dresses at school. And it's funny because everyone, like even Taylor Swift's song, they're like, I wear short jeans or something. she wears short skirts, I wear t-shirts. And I was like the other way around. And I felt like that's what's unique of me. And I always like wearing Lolita dresses, one of those Harajuku Japanese dress. And I really like girly things. Like you can see the dolls behind me. And so I wanted to apply that to my work. Yeah.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I think a lot of people find that the things that they enjoy or the styles that they enjoy across other art forms like fashion are things that they tend to replicate or bring into their other works and then expand upon.
Yeah, I felt ashamed, but I feel like people shouldn't be ashamed of what they like and just try to push it a bit more.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And kind of tying into what you said earlier, you know, being that person who's a little bit different or has a different point of view is something I think a lot of artists can relate to. And a lot of people find themselves creating these worlds out of that sense of like individuality or that feeling that they really enjoy something specific.
Yeah.
So let's go into a little bit more about how you detail out those worlds. So like we said, you did the mood boards, but also like, even if you look at each individual piece that you do, like the wider scenes, those details are still all in there. Even if you don't have them blocked out like a sticker sheet, all those details exist.
Yeah.
So when you create a piece, how do you think of your character so that you know what sort of extra details to add?
Yeah, I try to collect a bunch of images. Even like Pinterest is really helpful. I gather everything that inspires me and I look for smallest details. And I also have a storybook that I used to read a lot when I was little. It's called Bamu and Carol. And I forgot how to read the name, but if you look at the book, there, for example, this page, this is the main character, but there's like a little bunny eating out like in the side, and that's what I wanted to apply. So you're kind of, I also love watching movies, so it kind of feels like you have more than one place to look at. And I don't want people to feel tired of looking at my art.
Yeah, I think that there's all something that you do very well is there's always something to explore in your art, right? Like you have your focal point, but as soon as you start to explore around that, you're finding all these other things that you've placed in there for the viewer to discover, which I think is really exciting.
Yeah, because that was excited me when I look at art, and I always pick art that makes me interested longer than a minute or something.
Definitely. Yeah. You want, like, art can live forever. So building those background details and everything else in there allows it to have that extended life. Mm-hmm. So one thing, just really quick to take us out of the conversation, people in chat know that we are doing a Q&A at the end. So any questions that you might have or that you might want to ask Naomi, you can put in the chat below. And we've got a producer in the chat who will pull those questions so that we can answer them at the end. We're very excited to be able to answer those questions for you. And thank you for all the positive comments we've seen in there. I love seeing all the mangas that you guys have been reading, all the hobbies that you have, the ones of you who have read that book. That's really exciting. But we're going to save those questions to the end, but do put them in now so that we can have them put in there and we can ask those questions at the end. Also, there's a link in the bio that will take you to a caption contest for a piece of Naomi's work where you can win a Wacom One tablet. So a little business in the middle, but now we'll get back into the chat. So we talked for quite a while this week about style, and style is always the thing that people latch onto in art, right? Like I think anytime anyone talks about art, it's about style. How did you get your style? How do you develop your style? How do I find my style? All of that. And one of the things that I loved when we talked is you have a very strong point of view about how basics can help you with your style. And so why don't you talk about that a little bit?
So what I realized was before, when I was middle school, high school, I would copy an artist's style. And I felt that I wasn't going anywhere. I didn't know what my art style was. I was confused of what I wanted to draw. So I tried to focus on trying to improve my style. Improve my anatomy skills, perspective. And even in art school, we would do 3 hours of figure drawing. And once I started to feel that my art was improving based on how I do better in lighting and anatomy, I had a better understanding of how much I could exaggerate and go back. And I feel that's when people were starting to tell me, I really love your style. And yeah, that's what the pattern I heard saw. A lot of artists, they still try to polish their skills, even if they're professionals. And I feel that's really important.
Yeah. So building up those basics instead of just looking at a style definitely help people to be able to explore their own style, right? Like,
yeah.
So if someone is coming in new to art and they're very excited about art, but they haven't necessarily studied it, how do you think that working on the basics can help them find their style?
Yeah, similar things I'm gonna say, but
yeah.
One experience was when I was drawing a fish and I was trying to stylize it because I was like, oh, I know how to draw fish. And my professor came to me and was like, Naomi, you have to know what the fish looks like, that you stop like taking shortcuts, like you have to look at references. And that's what I realized a lot of visual development artists do too. And that's what I want to do in the field as a freelance maybe. And they do a lot of research. So I guess it also depends on what field you want to go to. But for me as an artist, I like looking at references. And I also realize when I look at younger artists and who are trying to grow their followers, they try to do a style, but it becomes repetitive. And you kind of see like, oh, this person is probably inspired by this artist, or this artist probably art. So my goal is people see my art and be like, oh, that's Naomi's style. And not like, oh, that's the other artist's style.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, building out that and finding what makes your style stand out is something that you can do from the basics, but it doesn't necessarily come from learning one for one from how other people develop.
Yeah, and it's also important to have multiple favorite artists so you can gather everyone. And also, I also said in the YouTube video that I made about art style that it's good to have multiple artists, because even if someone likes the same artist, you probably look at something that you like is different from the other person. So you might like the person how they draw the hair, and the other person might like not the hair but the eyes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So who are some artists that you really enjoy then? And let's spread the love and pass it forward to those artists who you like to follow.
The very first artist that I found was Loish. And that's that's when I started going into social media and started. I also love Brittany Lee's art, mm-hmm. and Tonko House, the Daisuke Tsutsumi and Robert Kondo. I took their schoolism class, and that was really helpful for color and light. And that made me push myself to study more real life lighting instead of just looking at concept art and trying to mimic them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when you do find those artists, how do you combine the parts of those artists that you enjoy?
I try to tell myself that it's okay to feel inspired. People might be like scared that they might like copy the artist too much. But if you just have multiple artists in the list and try to pick some parts that you like and apply it to your own, then it becomes a different art. So yeah, don't be scared, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's important. I think that there's something that comes from really having a fearlessness that comes with art, because art is tough. Art is very personal. Like, no one makes art and is just like, this is whatever. If you're making art, you're putting a big part of yourself to it. So having to be fearless in that and knowing that there's a challenge that comes with it is very important.
Yeah, and everyone's personality is different, and that really applies to your work, your experience.
Definitely. Yeah. So cool. So let's talk about studies a little bit, going into basics, and just sometimes people are like, yeah, I need to do the basics, but I don't really know what that means. Yeah. Right. So how can doing studies like light studies or, you know, color studies or pose studies help an artist?
I the thing that really helped me was learning what's inside look like, the bones and the muscles. So in the art school, they tested us to remember all the muscles names and the bones names. Even though I don't remember all the names of the bones and muscles, I still remember what it looks like where it is. And So with that in my mind, when I look at a figure in front of me, I could easily draw it with the right anatomy. Like when I look back at my older figure drawings, it looks like it doesn't have any bones, like the rib cage, it looks flat or something like that.
Yeah.
And learning that, I can apply it to my work. And people look at my work and say, how do you draw a body? Like, how do you like come up with the pose? Did you use reference? But most of my characters, I don't really use references for their poses. It's mostly me trying to practice on my own. So a good site that I usually go to is called Croquis Cafe. Do you know?
Yeah.
They have live figure draw models, and I try to copy that. And it's a good place to practice since COVID and everything.
Yeah, I use them, and then I use Quick Poses. And Quick Poses, you can set like your timer for how quick it goes and everything.
Yeah.
And that's always fun. That's super cool. So one thing I think that a lot of people have a challenge on is almost being afraid to learn, right? Like you might feel really accomplished in certain areas, but know that you're lacking in others. So what sort of mindset could you recommend to people when they might want to learn something but have to come at it knowing that they don't know it?
I think it's good to know what you want to improve on. So if you know how to draw feet and hand, and you keep drawing feet and hand, but you know that the head is not improving, then you have to change your focus. If you want to improve in color, then you have to change your focus. If you are wanting to focus on wanting to become a storyboard artist, if you keep learning anatomy and not knowing perspective, then it won't help you. You might want to study more about movies, like how they change the shot. Yeah, it's good to list what you want to learn. So for me, it's like character. So I wanted to learn figure drawing.
I think that's amazing. That's a really good point. Finding what that goal is for you and then working towards that goal, I think, is important. A lot of people see art as this very vast thing and they don't even know where to start. So finding one singular goal to work towards is very important. Cool. So one last thing before we get to the Q&A. we talked a lot about podcasts and the different podcasts that you listen to. So what sort of podcasts do you listen to while you create or to get inspiration for you to create?
So I started listening to Bobby Chu's podcast, and it's mostly focused on real life art industry experience, a lot of directors, a lot of concept artists. And that's what I wanted to learn first. So that was a good start. And I recently found the Honest Designers show, and they it's mostly casual talk, but it feels like you're meeting up with the artists. They have four people talking at the same time. They're mostly graphic designers and one illustrator, I believe. And they mostly talk about artist problems, working as a freelance and working with clients, like how they approach clients. And that I feel it's important, as for me, I wanted to become a freelance artist, knowing like how to approach clients, like running a business, branding yourself. And the last one is Creative Pep Talk, and they by Andy J. Pizza. He mostly focus on art marketing, also branding. And I listen to his podcast whenever I feel stuck in creativity. So I recommend all of their podcasts.
Those are great ones. I think that finding those people to talk to or listen to, excuse me, is really important, because you do get so many other experiences from people. And what's kind of amazing is you've talked about Loish, you've talked about Bobby Chu, and now you are on the same podcast giving your advice that Bobby Chu and Loish have both been on.
That kind of feels like that's why I'm like so nervous.
You don't need to be nervous at all.
Am I supposed to be here?
No, it's amazing. And everyone's story does help people. So your story, I'm sure, has been amazing for the people in the chat today and the people who will watch this later when we upload it to YouTube and IGTV. But everyone's point of view is a unique and special point of view that will help people, because every artist sees things differently and every comment will be very different in how it affects someone. So very special. And thank you so much for being on here as well.
Thank you for inviting me.
So any other things that you listen to while you create? Do you listen to any music while you work on your art, or is it all podcasts?
Yeah, I listen to music mostly. Game soundtracks, movie soundtracks. It makes me focus more.
What sort of music or game soundtracks have you been listening to recently?
Of course, Little Nightmares. Another one is Night in the Woods.
Ooh, yeah. I love the visual style of that game too. It's so good.
It also feels like a storybook. And not many people know this one. It's called Pocket Mirror. It's an RPG horror game. And it wasn't really a big success. It was, it's still a free game. They're making a new game called Little Goody Two Shoes. And it's also similar. They have like the doll kind of characters. And the music, it feels whimsical, Alice in Wonderland, Victorian, and like classical, like orchestra kind of feel. And that really inspires me for my type of art
style. So so for you listen to stuff that is like kind of one for one what you create, like you get inspired by the music to build a similar style.
It makes me go into like the world that I want to go in.
That's amazing. Awesome. So are you ready for the Q&A?
Yeah.
All right. Really quick. I'm going to do the business spiel again, that we are doing a caption contest. You can find the link in the bio. You can win a Wacom One tablet. That's something that we really think is important to help supply you guys with tools so that you can level up your art and make it something that everyone can participate in, which is really cool. So make sure to check that out. The link is in our bio to go find the caption contest. And please like, follow, subscribe, DeviantArt Podcast, so that we can continue to make these products and continue to bring in awesome artists like Naomi, so that we can share their stories with you and hopefully provide you with tons of inspiration so that you can continue to be creative. All right. Q&A time. Whew.
Yes.
All right. Cracking all the knuckles. All right. So we did put up on our IG stories earlier some questions, or a little block where people can ask questions. And so we'll start with some of those while people put in their questions in the chat below. We're going to start off with this one from Belzbub Art, who says, would you ever consider drawing while live streaming?
I've done live stream and drawing, and it's fun because people can, like right now, people can ask questions, and sometimes they request, oh, like, can you quickly draw this or something? And it feels like a friend moment. I sometimes like watching random streams and, yeah, feeling the connection. So I wanted to, but I don't really do that much live streams. Yeah.
Live streams can be tough. I know when I live stream, I always get distracted by everyone commenting. I don't end up getting any work done, and then I end up having to cram after the live stream.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it's a really good thing, though. Like you said, it builds that community and you feel like you're there with people, which is really special, too.
Yeah. So for me, I kind of do sometimes random Q&A, the box for Instagram, and I put a pretty background and just answer questions. And people like that. I feel you can easily feel like you're a robot, and having that small connection can have a really long relationship with your followers.
Yeah, especially right now with the pandemic and everything, being separated is so hard, and it can feel very automated and just text driven.
Yeah, especially me, I get really stuck with what I want to say. So for me, those little questions and answer, I could take my time to think of an answer.
Yeah. Tasnink says, how do you make all of your characters? So like, what sort of thing inspires you to make a character, I guess?
I whenever I watch movies, I notice a really like what's unique about them, what's their background story. So, and also gathering inspiration from like different movies. You can kind of feel like there's a pattern. There's like the main character, there's side characters. And I like watching YouTube videos like, oh, what's the witch character's trope like, or something like that. So once you find that pattern, you can come up with characters that people can feel they know about. They can instantly know that, oh, this character is a really, I don't know. Sorry, I lost
No,
it.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are live, so that's the thing sometimes. Jemmy Draws wants to know, when did you first realize you wanted to be an artist? And how long did it take you to kind of solidify your style? And they also want to let you know that they love you. So,
thank you. Like I said in the beginning, I drew since I was three, so I always knew that I wanted to become an artist. And it's just that I didn't know which direction I wanted to go. Like for me, I thought I wanted to become a fashion designer when I was in middle school. But I realized like, oh, I don't want to learn how to sew because I don't know how to. And for me, Frozen was like when I wanted to learn more about concept art. Like I realized, oh, there's a team behind it and how they can come up with drawings, and they draw all the time. It's like, oh, that's what I want to do. Just draw all the time. And they draw characters, they draw props. It's all kind of genre. And also picking up the Alice Madness Returns art book. That's the very first concept art book that I bought. And looking through the book, it was a really one step journey to where I wanted to go to.
Yeah, and all that American McGee art was so incredible for that time too. Like it was such a unique take on Alice. Carly De Simone wants to know, does drawing art ever get old, or do you ever feel burnt out on art?
I think that's a part of being an artist. It's something you have to experience, because that's also the time to recharge your inspiration, look for more, to recharge, like, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what I want.
No, that's perfectly fine. Something that I think a lot of artists re can relate to is Bishwadeep 25 just said, "No one checks my artwork. How do I get people to see it?" So, what sort of steps have you taken to get your art seen?
Yeah, for me, the one that really helped me grow my following was fan art. Mostly Jack and Elsa fan art. That was big when I started, like, started growing my art. Just sharing something that you feel connected, it really grows your art account fast. But it might be different because, like, the algorithm's different. But once I started posting a bit more of my original artwork, people still supported me, and that's when I realized, like, oh, I could switch back to my original art.
Yeah, I think that there's a challenge always in finding that balance, right, between making art of fan art and making art, or art even that your audience wants to see, and art that is your unique thing.
Yeah, a fan art, I feel like it still works because I recently drew the five character from Umbrella Academy, and I realized that that has more engagement and people talk about it more. Yeah, so
Yeah.
if you want your art to be seen, like, try fan art or try finding an obsession that you have and try to share it with everyone. Like, even telling a story with comics, that kind of grows.
Yeah, I think that that's something that we hear kind of as a recurring theme is that authenticity and bringing that joy to your art, right? Whether it's your individual art or something that you love so much, like how much you love Elsa and Jack and Umbrella Academy, but that excitement comes through the page and through the screen to everyone watching. So it can be something really fun to share with people too. I can see in comments, people are drawing five right now. What? I always love seeing the chat go of like, oh, I want to answer all these questions. Vitorik wants to know, how do you set the mood for your artwork? So how do you build atmosphere?
I realize, like, it's just mood boards. Like, I gather a bunch of Pinterest, and you can, if you're struggling, try opening a file and gather a bunch of images that you feel inspired. That's like similar theme, and that's how fashion designers do it too. They gather mood boards. It can be only like 10 pictures, and it can still tell a story. And if you start without nothing, it's really difficult to jump in.
Yeah, I think it can be a real challenge to find that initial leap. But like you said, finding the inspirations, like I have a whole collection on DeviantArt that's just like, I called it like aesthetic. I just pull all of those over whenever I'm drawing.
Yeah, like I hear a lot of concept artists save a lot of pictures they find randomly on the internet. I can't really do that because my phone gets really full really fast.
I think that's a problem we all face is, my phone will tell me like, you've got 2 gigs of images. Do you want to back any of these up somewhere else? It's like, no, I need them all now. Great. I've seen a couple of people say this, but the initial comment was from Remharam 199. Any tips for how to create backgrounds and shading? Because they feel that you do that very well in your work.
Yeah, it's difficult because I didn't know how to draw backgrounds too, and I realized like even if you don't know perspective, like it's good to know some, but try doing it anyways, like even if it looks weird. And also I started drawing more backgrounds when I went to Italy and looking at the Florence buildings. I go outside and draw like the buildings, and I feel that really helped me understand how, yeah, how the building works in the background.
Yeah, kind of going back to like what you said earlier about those basics is
Yeah.
finding those references and those studies to look at, and that helps you across everything.
Yeah. You just trying to build a image file in your brain and like trying to muscle memory everything.
So a question that I'm sure you've answered many times in your life, Mr. An Alonji said, or Alonij says, "Your work is beautiful. What tablet or software do you use with your art?"
I use Procreate and iPad, and most of my work now is Photoshop. And right now I'm using like the XP Pen tablet that they sent me, and that's been going really well. Yeah.
Nice. And then Scrubhime says, "What is your favorite part of the art process?"
I think researching and gathering images and knowing an idea in your head, and yeah, the sketching phase. That's why I don't really like finishing my artwork. I like keeping the sketch lines and the roughness, and that tends to make people feel inspired too when they look at my artwork. They really like my rough sketches.
Why do you
Yeah.
think that is?
I feel, I think because it can go many directions from there, and people can feel inspired by that too. They can see a different thing from other people.
I think that's really true, and that's something I'm really excited that you brought up is I think sketch ha and works in progress have such an amazing capability that hasn't really been explored, especially in social media right now.
Yeah.
Because social media, you see all these finished pieces and it's all done.
Yeah.
And there was such a thing, like, again, I'm very old, where you used to see all these pieces as they were being done over time. And you would be able to get inspired and find these different paths from it. And it's almost like a prompt in a way of, here's this thing at this point. What can you imagine off of that?
Yeah, I also feel like some people on their account, they only post finished pieces, and they sometimes ask me like, oh, why isn't my follower like growing? But I feel like if you try to push showing your process, like your behind the scenes, it feels more real and you feel more inspired, and people follow for that reason too.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also, there's kind of the reality of a lot of beginning artists, I think, get intimidated by seeing only finished work too. And they think that that's where they have to start, and they don't realize all the work that artists put in. Like, there's so much work and so many hours that you can't
Yeah.
see in a
Yeah.
single post.
Yeah, that's what I like to show in my work, the sketchbooks. And yeah, I like seeing those too from other art accounts.
Oh, it's the best. That's why I always kickstart artists, like art books that have their sketches. I'm like, I want to see everything that went into this.
Yeah, just geeking
Oh, so much geeking
and everything.
out. So Matt in real life says, "What determines whether you do a piece in digital or traditional?"
It's interesting because like I it simply is just me feeling inspired to draw digital, and then I get tired of it and then I switch to the other one. It just keeps me inspired. I can't focus on one media for a long period of time. it makes me want to do traditional as well. And sometimes I go too detailed on the digital art, like, oh, there's this one like part that I want to fix. But then when I go back to traditional, like, I ignore those. And that makes me realize, like, oh, I'm taking too much time on digital. And that I try to apply that to each other's work. Yeah. Just yeah, going back and forth.
I think there's something really cool about when you work in different mediums, whether it's working with pencil or paint or sculpting even, that you can take over to digital or take over to another one.
Yeah. When I learned ZBrush at school, that also helped me learn, like, the overall like 3D-ness. And I feel like that also helped me with my character designs, like learning to see the character in 3D. Yeah. So I like learning new things.
I didn't even know you did ZBrush. Are there any art styles you don't do? Because like, I'm feeling like you've done it all and I'm really intimidated now.
Yeah, I just learned like, oh, you should learn ZBrush because if you want to go to concept art, you need to know how to use your ZBrush. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I took it. I liked it, but at the same time, it was really annoying.
It's a lot of work. I have a lot of friends who work in ZBrush and do 3D art, and it's incredible seeing what can come from it, but it blows my mind every single time I see it.
Yeah. I can see the sculpture now and be like, how did they do that specific part? Like, I can't understand. Yeah.
Always learning is important.
Yeah.
Great. So like just a few final questions before we wrap up, because I know we have a hard out at an hour. Jute wants to know, if an idea in your head doesn't work out, what do you do to fix it?
I don't know. Like I sometimes draw a artwork that I feel so confident, and I look back at it and be like, oh, like I don't know where to go with this. So I just keep in like this bunch of like doodle file, so sometime I could go back to it later. Like don't feel bad that idea is wasted, because you can go back to it anytime.
And then finally, I've seen a lot of people in the chat, a disturbing number of people, breaks my heart, say that they don't feel that their art is good enough, or that their art is trash, or that their sketches are trash. What would you say to people who are working through and trying to learn their way up in art?
I feel like even though they don't feel confident, try posting it anyways, because you can go back to, like for me, Instagram really is a really big part of my artist growth. Because I was focused on school, and a lot of peers, I was surprised because a lot of peers, they didn't have Instagram or any social media to post. They told me like, oh, I will start an account when I'm ready or when I'm professional. But I'm like, no, start now, because really, if you work and keep working for something else, then you can't focus on what you enjoy drawing on your free time. That was Instagram for me. And one funny thing was when I went to an interview and show my work, I put some school stuff in, and I also put some Instagram stuff. I didn't feel like it was something professional. It was something I enjoyed. They looked through my work and they said, oh, we don't like your schoolwork. We really like your Instagram stuff. Like, put more of those in. And that's when I realized, like, it's not good to focus on what people expect you to draw. And yeah, Instagram made me realize that it's important to draw what you enjoy. And that's what unique and people see more from your work. Yeah,
I think that's really important, and thank you so much for like bringing that like really personal story out. Like, that's amazing. And I think that a lot of people can relate to that. Awesome. Well, we're running low on time, so thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
It's been so fun having you. Like, I'm really glad that we got you on. I'm really glad that we had, like, you were able to make time to do this. Thank you so much. Where can everyone find you across the entire internet?
Yeah, same name, Ikanani, throughout every platform. Just
making it easy.
Yeah, easy.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Again, my name is Matt Buholtz. I'm your host. You can find me at GGMattB on DeviantArt. And make sure to like, subscribe, follow DeviantArt Podcast so that we can continue bringing you these podcasts, continue bringing you amazing artists to talk to and hear from. And thank you so much for joining us. All right. Goodbye. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
You did incredible. The chat was really positive and everyone was very happy. So it's been super fun. I love that they get to see this part now where we're just here waiting.
Yeah.
But thank
Hi,
you.
Everyone.
Thank you again so much for taking the time. Seriously, this was amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
Did you have a good time at least?